From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Rebecca Foster. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry has said that Washington's support for Iraqi security forces will be intense and sustained as they try to battle Sunni insurgents in the country who've now captured two key border posts. Mr. Kerry was speaking during a press conference in Baghdad after holding talks with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki about the crisis. From Washington, here's Lorna Shattuck.
Baghdad is John Kerry's third stop in a tour of Middle Eastern capitals as he calls on Iraq's allies to press the country's Prime Minister, Nouri al-Maliki, to govern in a more inclusive, less sectarian manner. After holding almost 2 hours of talks with Mr. al-Maliki, the US Secretary of State reiterated Washington's backing for Iraqi forces in their fight against ISIS militants. Washington hasn't publicly called for Mr. al-Maliki to step down, but has criticized him for alienating Iraq's Sunni minority and thus fueling the insurgency. At his press conference on Monday, Mr. Kerry also insisted that no country, the US included, has the right to pick Iraq's leaders. But he added that Mr. al-Maliki has reaffirmed his commitment to form a new government by the 1st of July.
Draconian, chilling, and a deeply disturbing setback to Egypt's transition. That's the U.S. State Department's description of the 7-year prison sentences handed down to 3 Al Jazeera journalists on Monday. It comes just 24 hours after U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry announced he would be releasing more than $500 million in frozen military aid to the country. Now he's calling on President al-Sisi to review all sentences and verdicts pronounced during the last few years. Kate Fisher has more.
In a statement, John Kerry said injustices like these couldn't stand if Egypt was to move forward in the way that he says President al-Sisi told him just yesterday that he aspires his country to advance. Al Jazeera journalist Sue Turton, who was also sentenced today but in absentia, says she's devastated the US government has restored military aid while her colleagues are still in prison.
That is a huge blow. One of the bargaining chips that the West still had with Egypt has now gone and we have nothing to show for it.
John Kerry says he's calling on President al-Sisi to consider all available remedies, including pardons.
A Sudanese woman who was sentenced to death after marrying a Christian man is free from jail, according to her lawyer. Marianne Ibrahim faced the death penalty for abandoning Islam under Sharia law. She was pregnant at the time and gave birth in jail. Her husband, Daniel Wani, is an American citizen. He says he wants to get his family out of Sudan as soon as he can. International outcry put pressure on Sudanese authorities to overturn her sentence. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN. Syria has handed over the last of its declared chemical weapon materials for destruction. The announcement from the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons marks a milestone in efforts to eliminate the country's stockpile, but does not come in time to meet a June 30th deadline for full destruction. Li Ling Tan reports from the UN headquarters in New York.
Syria's delivery of the last of its chemical weapons stockpile, as declared to the OPCW, brings the handover to 100%. The remaining 8% of Syria's declared toxic material, some 100 metric tons, have been loaded onto a Danish ship and will be destroyed at sea, said the Global Chemical Weapons Watchdog. The latest handover, which completes the removal of some 1,300 tons of chemical weapons declared, was delayed due to rebel fighting, according to the Syrian government. That, along with other delays, mean that the June 30th deadline for the complete destruction of Syria's declared chemical weapons stockpile will not be reached. The OPCW said it is also looking into the alleged use of chlorine gas in Syria's civil war.
The Football or Soccer Association of Ghana has called in police following an undercover investigation by the British newspaper The Telegraph and the UK broadcaster Channel 4. The investigation found that the head of Ghana's Football Association agreed for the national team to play in international matches that were set to be rigged. UK correspondent Natalie Feary has this report.
The 6-month-long investigation was launched after information was received showing some football associations were dealing with criminal gangs looking to fix scores of international games. Reporters posed as representatives from a company that wanted to sponsor games. The head of Ghana's Football Association said Ghana would play in rigged matches in exchange for $170,000 per match. Ghana's Football Association has said it will be seeking strong sanctions if the claims are true.
And that's the latest from Feature Story News. Rebecca Foster reporting.